In the summer of 2023, Maine Public partnered with StoryCorps in a Military Voices initiative to capture the stories of Maine veterans who served in the armed forces. During the recording sessions, veterans shared details about their tours of duty and how their time in the military affected both their lives and those of their loved ones. This limited podcast series is dedicated to these Maine veterans and their families. We want to thank them for sharing moments of their lives with us. I'm Keith Shortall. Let's get started. Episode 3, In Good We Trust. Military chaplains are an integral part of the armed services. They not only serve as faith-based leaders to the men and women in the branches of our military, they're also supportive counselors and often friends. They support members of the military and their families in all aspects of their lives. In this episode of Maine Military Voices, we meet Lieutenant Commander Nathan Furrell, who continues to serve as a chaplain in the U.S. Navy today. This is his story.
My name is Nathan Wilson Furrell. I am 50 years of age.
My name is Erin McGee Farrell. I'm also 50 years old. I remember that when we first met, I told you that, you know, I would marry you as long as you were never going to become a minister. You know, and then here you are, a minister. And I hadn't even, it had never occurred to me that you were actually going to be also in the military. So I just think it's funny how, like, if you had told me that you were going to be a Navy chaplain in the military, it would have been hard. I don't know that I would have married you back then, but, like, you know, now you're perfect at it. And I just really, you know, I think it's surprising about, we've always known our son was meant to be in the military, our son who is in the Army and went to West Point, and we've always seen him as like a perfect military guy. And I just think it's so interesting. Can you talk about like what it was at age 44 to like join the Navy?
Sure. Well, you know, for me, the need is the call. And that's something we've always known and we've always talked about. When I learned that there is a need, there's a real need in the military for chaplains, for people who can just be a listener and a confidant and a counselor to these young people, that there's a real need and it's difficult to find people, and that they were willing to lower the standards enough to let me in, I was willing to put my name in a hat because I don't have to take up arms as a chaplain, right? I don't touch a weapon. But what we ask of these 20, 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds is a lot, and we really demand a lot from them. And so I feel like if I can be part of taking care of them and making sure they are mentally and spiritually sound, then I want to do what I can to help. So that's why I did it at age 44.
We've always both been Christians and involved in churches, and it was really fascinating to kind of witness your perspectives of Islam change and grow and even sort of adopting some of that faith during your time. Can you just talk a little bit about how your views changed?
Sure, yeah. Obviously, I'm a Christian chaplain and a Christian priest in the Episcopal tradition. So, this was the big personal takeaway for me, right, from being deployed in Bahrain. I've always been, okay, especially since 9/11, the whole role of Islam in the world and my understanding of it has been sometimes intrigued by Islam and not understanding really how it works. And so this is the first time in my life then where I actually could see it from the inside in an Islamic country and really grasp it and actually just kind of feel what it's like. And it really, that made a huge difference in my life, actually. And I spent much of my time taking these sailors off of our remote base. And so we take them to cultural sites, primarily religious sites, and take them to the mosques for the big events, Eid celebrations and so on. And just to be part of that and to learn so much was really important to me. And then we had one sailor who actually, this New Jersey Italian Catholic sailor who converted to Islam while we were there. And part of my job was to help him through that journey. and to take him to the only mosque in the country where the kitab is in English, and so we could go there, and then we had lunch with the Sultan Bilal afterwards, and that was fascinating to kind of walk him through the process and to ask him questions about it and learn about it, and it just had a big impact on me, actually, and did come away with a lot of respect for Islam as in its kind of simple form, right? Not obviously how we see it portrayed with extremists and so on, but just the beauty and simplicity of it as a whole community way of life. It's really amazing, actually.
Aren't you also unique as an Episcopal chaplain because you have performed same-sex marriages, and so that's within, you know, the Episcopal, you know, realm to do it, as opposed to some other denominations? Or
yes, and so this is an interesting dynamic, right? Because one of the things I love about the military is none of these things matter: race, orientation, you know, gender identity. None of those things matter. If you want to do this work, if you feel called to it, if you can help us accomplish the mission, great. Like, let's do it. You're on the team. Let's make it happen. None of those demographic issues, or none of it matters, right? But most of the chaplains who serve can't do that because of their religious endorsers. They have to maintain faith with their group who sends them there, who tend to have a lot of restrictions about these things. So there's a real tension there, which is challenging. I feel grateful that I don't have any of those restrictions, right, in my Episcopal tradition. So I can really embrace that military ethos 100% and go with it, which I think is fantastic, which to me is exactly the way it should be. I don't care about any of those things, right? You're going to help us accomplish the mission. If you can, if you want to, great, let's do it. So yeah, it's a very kind of unique position in that way for me. And then also, like when I was in Bahrain, you know, there was a Buddhist army chaplain I hung out with. There was an Islamic army chaplain. And again, my tradition, we're very open, so I could do things and do ministry stuff with these guys and not worry about it. I'm not going to get in trouble with anyone, right? Which is a great freedom to have to explore and learn and to cooperate.
Yeah, weren't you able to actually work with or offer a Buddhist meditation?
Yeah.
Time?
Oh, this was a gift of grace, right? Because we had this army unit asked me. So I'm a Navy chaplain, but this is all joint operations, right? We're all working together for the same mission. So there was an army unit asked me to come out and lead them in mindfulness meditation. And, you know, I know some about that. I've obviously been exposed and practiced some, but I'm no expert in it. So literally the week that I was scheduled to go out and do this Buddhist chaplain, army chaplain shows up and out of nowhere, and we were hanging out, and then his flight out got canceled, and she's like, "Oh, I'm going to be with you all week." And I was like, "Perfect, because you're going to help me do this mindfulness meditation because you're a Buddhist and this is your lane, brother. So we're going to go do this together." And it was really good because, you know, it was much better with him than just me alone. And so we had this whole time with this unit, probably 15 soldiers, and helping them to practice, talked about mindfulness and meditation and practice it together. And it's just a great thing. It was really wonderful. And then we did also with sailors a couple nights later, and he led us in different kinds, like walking meditation and some really different practices, which was really fun. That was, I'm really grateful for that opportunity.
When Lieutenant Commander Nathan Furl entered the Navy as a chaplain in his mid-40s, he had a strong sense of faith and what it meant to him in his life. As he immersed himself in a new part of the world and began to experience the beauty of other faiths, he grew as a person and as a practitioner of his own faith. Join us next time as we introduce you to Master Sergeant Daniel Moon, a World War II and Korean War veteran, and recipient of a Purple Heart. Military Voices of Maine is brought to you by a partnership with Maine Public and StoryCorps, as well as the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This podcast series was made possible through the generous support of Lee Auto Malls, Wreaths Across America, and FedCap Maine. The series was produced by Allison New and Keith Shortall. That's me. You can listen to this podcast and others like it on our website, mainepublic.org, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.